If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read a pretty short portion, a lot shorter than usual. But it'll be my text, so I would encourage you to keep your hand here. And I will also remind you as we read it that this is the Word of God. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Make every effort to come to see me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Let's pray. Oh Lord, this morning we look at a portion of Scripture that really you could say are last words. We'll see as we look at the context of these verses that Paul knew his time was short. He's sitting in prison waiting his execution. But as would be common to our nature, he's thinking about friends. He's thinking about friendships lost, friendships interrupted, and friendships that he has at the time. But Lord, he has some very specific requests. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, really. He needs his coat. He wants to see his friends. He'd like to have his books, and especially the parchments. So Lord, what does that mean for us today? I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. An old man in a cold dungeon who knows his time is short. What does he ask for? We're not surprised he asks for a warmer coat. We're not surprised he asked for his Bible. But it is surprising that he asked for books. I say this because he knows his time is short, yet, as he had done throughout his life, he wants to continue to learn, to grow, to study. No, I'm not talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about one of my theological heroes, William Tyndale, the author of the English Bible. He was condemned a heretic by the Roman Catholic Church and was burnt at the stake in 1536. His last recorded words were, before they lit him on fire, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." But I want to read something he wrote while in prison, awaiting for his burning at the stake. Says, "I believe, right worshipful, that you are not unaware of what may have been determined concerning me. Wherefore I beg your lordship, and that by the Lord Jesus, that if I am to remain here through the winter, you will request the commissary to have the kindness to send me from the goods of mine which he has a warmer cap, for I suffer greatly from cold in the head, and I am afflicted by a perpetual mucus, which is much increased in this cell. A warmer coat also, for this which I have is very thin. A piece of cloth, too, so that I may patch my leggings. My overcoat is worn out. My shirts also are worn out. He has a woolen shirt, and if he would be good enough to send it. I have also with him leggings of thicker cloth to put on above. He also has a warmer nightcap. And I ask to be allowed to have a lamp in the evening. It is indeed wearisome sitting alone in the dark. But most of all, I beg and beseech your clemency to be urgent with the commissary that he will kindly permit me to have a Hebrew Bible, a Hebrew grammar, a Hebrew dictionary, that I may press the time and study. In return, may you obtain what you desire most, so only that it be the salvation of your soul. But if any other decision has been taken concerning me to be carried out before the winter, I will be patient, abiding the will of God, to the glory of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose spirit, I pray, may ever direct your heart. William Tyndale. So as he was awaiting his execution, he also was asking for a warmer coat, a Bible, and books. The Apostle Paul also knew there was wisdom to be found in books. The foundation for wisdom is, of course, the book of books, the Bible. Another powerful source of wisdom, as we saw last week, is the book of nature. That's God's general revelation through his creation. These two books are important sources of truth because the author is God himself. All other books, like the one I just read from, are man-made. However brilliant they are imperfect. They are lesser sources of truth. But that doesn't make them unimportant. Paul is in Rome, in prison. He's cold and getting colder. He asked his protege to bring him a coat that he left far away in Turkey. He also asked for his books, and especially the parchments. He knows his end is near. Look at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Verse 9. Make every effort to come to see me. Make every effort to come to me soon. Verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So he knew his time was short. He knew his end was near. He felt alone. And I think what Paul really wanted to see was his friends. He wanted to see Timothy. That's who he's writing to. Now he says, Timothy, when you come, I want you to bring a coat that I left behind in Turkey, and I want you to bring my books and bring my Bible. But I think what he really wanted was to see Timothy bring those things. He wanted some companionship. Look at verse 9. Make every effort to come to see me soon. Verse 13. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. Verse 21. Make every effort to come before winter. Paul was faithful to the end because his perspective was eternal. Look at verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Now, that's his statement. The Lord's going to rescue me from this evil deed. But how's he going to do it? And he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So he knew he was being rescued. But he knew he was being rescued by being put to death. That the next step was God was going to take him to heaven. So he knew his time was short. But he was faithful to the end. He was faithful because his perspective was eternal. His eyes were on heaven. Now this is in contrast to Demas, who he mentioned in verse 10. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas' problem was he was short-sighted. Paul was looking at the world to come. Demas was looking at the world right now. He desired what this present world could give him. Paul desired what only the next world could give him. Because Paul was long-sighted, because his view was towards heaven, he was willing to take whatever the Lord's will was. And if that was to be beheaded by Nero, then so be it. Demas, however, didn't like that idea. Demas deserted him, left him. We also see here that there was a man named Alexander who opposed him, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. So Demas left him. Alexander opposed him. And then at his first trial, no one showed up to defend him. Verse 16. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Now there is one shining light in this. His name is Luke, the good doctor. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. In God's providence, Luke had stayed with Paul. And in God's providence, we know that Luke was a doctor. And in God's providence, he was allowed to see Paul. He was allowed to tend to Paul, I believe. But you notice in verse 11, there's a great statement of grace here that we're not going to talk about this morning, but I would really encourage you on your own to study it out. He says, only Luke is with me. And he says to Timothy, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. Now, that is a wonderfully gracious statement. If you know anything about John Mark, by the way, he wrote the Gospel of Mark. But he started out as a very promising young man. And when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, they took John Mark with them. And on the journey, at some point, John Mark quit. He came home. He was a problem missionary. Paul would not forgive him at that point. He didn't think it was wise to take John Mark anymore. Barnabas did. He took him and went one way. Paul went a different way. But at the end of his life, what does he say? Hey, bring John Mark. I'd like to see him. He's willing to make things right. So here's a statement of grace. A promising young man who became a problem missionary, who became a profitable minister. Yet seeing his friends could warm his heart, but not his body. So we see here there's nothing wrong with caring for the body, verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak. When you come, bring the cloak, which I left in Troas with Carpus. There's nothing wrong with caring for the body. For caring for the body. Look at verse 21. Make every effort to come to me before winter. What's he saying? He said, it's going to get really cold. I really need that coat as soon as you can get it here. Come before winter. He needed his physical needs cared for. Paul was in the horrible Roman prison, the maritime prison, Mamertine prison, sorry, Mamertine prison. Few prisons were as dark and dank and dirty as the lower chamber where Paul would have been held. A Roman historian wrote that its neglect, its darkness, and its stench gave it a hideous and terrifying appearance. It was primarily for those either awaiting trial or execution. Everybody there was either awaiting their trial or had been convicted and now were waiting for their execution. Paul had already had his second trial. He was convicted. He was awaiting his execution. During Paul's first Roman incarceration, he was under house arrest. But this time could have not been any different. Nero was holding Paul, awaiting Paul's execution. Now, I think because Nero wanted the spectacle of Paul being publicly beheaded, he was willing to keep him alive. I don't think he wanted Paul to die in prison. I think he wanted to die in the public square with a public execution. So since he was willing to, since he wanted to keep Paul alive, he was willing to let Dr. Luke becomes Duke. He was willing to let Luke see his friend. And I think he was willing to allow Timothy to bring these things. He wanted Paul to be in good enough health to die. Now, we do also see there in verse 13 that Timothy is dependable, right? He knew if he asked Timothy to do it, Timothy would do it. And also this man Carpus, who we know very little about, Paul had entrusted him with his coat, and Carpus, he knew Carpus would have kept it, so he said, Timothy, on your way, pick up my coat. I'm cold. But I guess Carpus also maybe had his books and his parchments. Paul had trusted him with those. When the body is cold, we need clothing. When the mind is bored, we need books. Caring for the mind is as important as caring for the body. So he says, bring me my coat and bring me my books. Now, I think these books were not necessarily theological books. They may have been secular books. I'll explain why in a minute. I don't think it was referring to the Bible. We'll look at that in the next point. But we know from his writings that Paul was a great reader of Gentile and Jewish authors, Jewish books. We see that in his writings. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, we are also his children. Researchers have discovered, scholars have discovered, that that is from a Greek poem called A Hymn to Zeus that was written 600 years before Paul was born. But Paul knew it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived, and you'll notice this is in quotes, bad company corrupts good morals. This again is a quote from a Greek poet named Meander. Titus 1:12. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, and that's probably best understood as a philosopher, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Again, this is a quote from a Greek philosopher who lived long before the Apostle Paul. So Paul was familiar with these writings. They were secular sources, but he read them to apply them to his preaching and his ministry and his writing. Though he was now grown old and near to heaven, yet he was mindful and careful of his books, still valuing what they could teach him. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. Paul was an inspired apostle, yet he wanted his books. Paul had been preaching for at least 30 years, yet he wanted his books. Paul had seen the Lord, yet he wanted his books. Paul had been caught up into the third heaven, yet he wanted his books. Paul had heard things untranslatable, yet he wanted his books. Paul had written a major part of the New Testament, yet he wanted his books. Now, I'm ashamed to confess that in recent years, I have not read as much as I previously had, and that's because, unfortunately, social media has changed our reading habits. Have you noticed that? I will admit to it. I don't like it. I'm trying to fix it. But it has changed our reading habits. We now like, you know, short rants and, you know, I don't have Twitter, thankfully, but, you know, Twitter threads and all these things. But even podcasts. I love podcasts. And blogs. I read blogs. But they know you can't make them too long, right? So you listen to them, you read them, and then you sit down to read a 400-page book, and you think, oh, man, right? I'm just, at least that has happened to me some. I will admit that. It's not a good thing. We need to be intentional to read books. Reading makes us take an extended time to connect with other people and other ideas. You should read books by people you don't agree with. That's the thing with, you know, Facebook and algorithms. They know how you think before very long. You're not on it very long, for they know how you think, and the things they feed you are the things you want to hear. Right? Reading allows us to be explorers of places we'll never get to or times before us that we did not live in. Books are the most efficient means of travel. Books help us to think well. Shallow, fragmented, quick scans online does not help us to think well. Books we remember, not the latest internet rant or tweet thread or hot take or meme. Those are all soon forgotten. Books are different. Now again, I understand, not everybody enjoys reading as much as other people. I do understand that. And some people read through the Kindle, I understand that. And Audible, that's great. I will confess, I got like 10 Audible credits I haven't cashed in yet because if I could give them to you, let me know. I don't know how you do that, but Audible, that's great. To me, it's not the same. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I'm just being honest. But read the type of books that you enjoy. Not everybody enjoys theology. You should read some theology, but not everybody enjoys theology. But what do you enjoy? I've thrown out a lot of my books at home, but there's some, even though, you know, I may not ever read them again, I just can't. I've quite a few books on the Civil War, World War II. I'm an old guy, that's what we do. I used to read everything John Grisham wrote. I really liked that. Tom Clancy, of course. I can't be 60 years old and not be a fan of Tom Clancy. But that's not my point. My point is read. We need to read. The title of this sermon is, what are you reading this winter? What are you reading this winter? Winter was coming. Paul wanted his books. Now, as you know, if you've been through the beginning of this series, I'm taking the idea of this series from a book by Brent McCracken. It's called The Wisdom Pyramid. And his point is, which has generated my ideas for this sermon series, is that we can get information all over the place, right? We live in an information age. We live in an information glut. We're overwhelmed with sources of information. But that's not the same as wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? Well, first and foremost, of course, we get wisdom from the Bible. Then we saw we get wisdom from the church. Last week we saw we get wisdom from nature. Today, I believe, Paul saw the value of getting some wisdom from books. But I love the last part of this phrase. To me, it can only mean one thing. He says, verse 13, when you come, bring the cloak, which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, and especially the parchment. So not only did he care for his body and care for his mind, he wanted to care for his spirit. His spirit. I believe, because he says, now notice, especially the parchments. I think this is probably a reference to the Old Testament scriptures. Above all else, he says, bring me my Bible. Above all else, bring me my Bible. Again, we've seen that the church can be a source of wisdom, nature can be a source of wisdom, books can be a source of wisdom, but the Bible is the most important source of wisdom. And above all else, he wanted to have his Bible. It's the most important source of wisdom from birth to death. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood, Timothy, you have known the scriptures. It's the scriptures that have given you wisdom. That wisdom has led you to salvation through faith in Christ. So from birth, from childhood, look at chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. From birth to death, the Word of God is sufficient. It is our most important source of wisdom. All other wisdom, all other books must be compared to the book. Paul wanted to keep his mental and spiritual faculties active right up until the very end. Even though his earthly sojourn was rapidly drawing to a close, he desired to continue learning. How much more should we who expect to live a lot longer? Let's pray. Now, Lord, my purpose here was to encourage people to read. Yes, I admit that. To demonstrate there's a value in reading, that secular and non-theological books are okay to read. But everything we read must be filtered through Scripture. So that's not just books. And again, I understand not everybody can read as well as everybody else. Not everybody likes to read as well as everybody else. I do understand that. And if there are other forms to read or to listen, that's great. But I want to stress the value of books, but also that all this information we're receiving has to be filtered through the Word of God. There's no shortage of supposedly experts. There's no shortage of answers. You can Google anything. You can get off on a trail and go down some dark tunnels. But all these things need to be compared to the light of Scripture. So even the learned Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, still valued his books, but he wanted especially parchments. I think he wanted especially the Bible was the Old Testament. So Lord, we thank you that you supply wisdom from many sources. We believe that. And many people throughout history have done some deep thinking that offers wisdom. But Lord, if it contradicts the wisdom found in Scripture, then we have to make a choice. May we, like Paul to our dying breath, want our Bibles. I pray. Amen.